Today on Real Radio.
Just look and you'll be saved. Be honest that you need a Savior. Be willing to accept what the Savior offers and believe in Him.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues in his topical series called You Need to Know, a series of lessons on the essentials of our faith. In fact, we're in a mini-series called You Need to Know all about being born again. Jesus himself said to a teacher of the Jews that one must be born again, or born from above, if you will, in order to see or understand the kingdom of God. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now with more of You Need to Know all about being born again.
Can I read you real quick Philippians chapter 3? Reminds me of an ISIS guy. I mean, I don't know any ISIS people personally. Don't really care to know. But I'm going to read you something that in his day, he was like ISIS. He hated Christians, hunting them down, beating them up, having them caged, arrested. What else did he do? Persecute them, killed them, or had them killed. We know for sure already that he's already chalked up one death by the name of Stephen. In Philippians 3, verse 4, Paul now speaks about his converted life. He says in verse 4, though I also might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so. So all you legalistic people, listen up, because Paul outdoes you in his sleep. He was circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel from the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning righteousness, which is in the law, blameless. Listen to what he says, verse 7. But what things were gained to me? These I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things and count them as manure. It's dung. You know what dung is? Dung is what you put on your yard in the springtime. You get dung from cows. Paul is saying all of my achievements in this life turns out to be potty, manure, bandini, compared to what God does for your life. All of his degrees, all of his zeal, all of his achievements, Paul says it's nothing. He's in a crisis. Maybe you're in a crisis today. And the worst thing about us coming before the Lord and being honest is our pride. It's our pride that keeps us from coming to Christ. Did you know that? It's our pride. It's a terrible thing. The next thing that we look at is how can you be born again? Is that you'd have to be willing. You not only come honestly looking at yourself, agreeing that you need to be saved from your sins because you've violated the Ten Commandments of God. You've had these thoughts, if not deeds, in your life, and you know that you're guilty, so you're honest. What's the next step, Pastor? You've got to be willing. Look, you can be standing here very, very much aware and facing all of your life's sins. Now watch this, people, watch this. You can right now be under the conviction of the Holy Spirit, and if you don't handle this right, you can destroy yourself. Why? Because you can somehow be convinced, and this is a type of pride. Oh man, you're right, I'm such a sinner. I'm such a horrible sinner that God can't forgive me. No, that is also a bizarre manifestation of pride. Who do you think you are anyway? I'm the worst sinner there ever was. In fact, I am the worst. Are you going to write a book about it? I'm a sinner, you're a sinner. And when you face that, the next step is you've got to be willing then to come to Christ. Nicodemus, who he knew what Jesus' message was about. Jesus was preaching the gospel. Do you understand what this man is risking? A Pharisee comes to Christ at night to come to Jesus. He could be viewed as someone who agrees with the message of Jesus, which was what? Repent and believe. for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Wow, there's a lot at risk here, but he was willing to come. And so what does it mean to be willing? In verse 9, it says that Nicodemus asked the question, how? How? Well, to be willing, you'd have to have a willingness to see your need for change. What would prevent that from happening, friends, is your pride. Do you remember the rich young ruler? He came to Jesus. This is awesome. Remember the guy? The rich young ruler. I mean, this is everybody's goal, is to be rich, to have authority, and to be young. In the 80s, it would have been a dot-com guy. A yuppie. Hey, man, how's it going? Great. I'm 22. I got a Ferrari. Have $10 million in the bank. And I run my... I'm a CEO of a company. Yeah? How's it going? Really? Well, if I look in the mirror, honestly, I'm just kind of trying to stay real busy, trying to move on to the next big deal to give myself self-worth. I got the money to buy the latest, greatest clothes and cars, so I do that because it makes me feel better. But if I look in the mirror, honestly, I've got to be very, very honest and be willing to confess to you, there's still something lacking in my life. And this man comes to Jesus, and what's his question to Jesus? Good master, what must I do to be saved? Isn't that interesting? He's young, he's rich, he's got authority. And like Nicodemus, he has this in common. I'm empty. I got a nice car, nice house, nice girl, nice bank, but I'm empty. What must I do to be saved? Great question. You'd have to be willing also to have this, a willingness to approach God. Nicodemus comes to God. We also know this regarding approaching, is that he, though he mentions generalities, right? We know you've come from God, for no man can do the miracles, the signs you do, unless God is with them. Jesus, watch everybody, Jesus goes right for the throat, spiritually speaking, and grabs Nicodemus and says, unless you're born again, you'll not see the kingdom of heaven. And at that, Nicodemus could have gotten up and walked out. He could have said, Jesus, get out of my face. He could have said, I'm out of here. You know what? He had a willingness to approach God. And you and I will need that willingness to be born again. Thirdly, he had a willingness to hand the reins of his life over to God. And I think about another man in Gadara, the demoniac who lived in the tombs we read about in the Gospels. He was demon-possessed, naked. He would cut himself with rocks. Self-mutilation. Jesus shows up on the shore and the demons cry out of this man's mouth. What have you to do with us, Jesus, thou Son of God? Have you come to torment us before the time? And Jesus rebukes them. And the demons are cast out, and the man is sitting there in his right mind. And that man says something to Jesus. This is awesome. He says, Lord, I'll follow you anywhere. Isn't that great? He hands the reins of his life over to Jesus. I'll follow you anywhere. The next thing about being willing is this, a willingness to receive, that is to accept or to surrender to Jesus. The centurion, remember many of us have been to the synagogue at Capernaum where this took place. They've reassembled the synagogue there as much as the archaeology has allowed. And Jesus is there, and the centurion was there who funded a lot of that building of the original synagogue in Jesus' day. And he says, Jesus, my servant is sick, my little girl servant. If you'll just speak the word, she'll be made whole. And Jesus, I'm paraphrasing right now, Jesus said, what? I'm a man, he says, of authority, and I say to those who are under my authority, do this, and they do it, and do that, and they do that. I recognize your authority, you're under the Father's authority, and so I know, you don't have to go to my house. And man, you got to remember, this is a Gentile Roman talking to Jesus. And this Gentile says, all you have to do, because of who you are, you just speak the word, and it's going to be done at my house. And Jesus said, are you kidding me? I've not seen this level of faith in all of Israel. Go home, watch and see. Go, you'll see. She's done, she's fine. You got to be willing. Willing to receive him, just like that centurion did. And in Mark chapter 9, verse 23, it's a beautiful scene. There's another story, there's another event of a man having his child demon-possessed. And you read, I tell you what, you read Mark 9 and you'll hear the brokenheartedness. The father's heart is torn. And he says, my son, often the demon controls him and throws him into the fire and he's burned. I got to get him out of the fire. And then the demon grabs him and throws him into the water. I got to get him out of the water so he doesn't drown. Can you imagine having to follow your child around like that? I mean, in a sense, because you love your child, but you see that torment, it's almost better that they would die. But then you love them and you, having them is better than not having them. The parent's heart is wrenched. And in Mark 9:23, Jesus says, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. And immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Is this awesome, ladies and gentlemen? You should have went, ooh, wow. I believe. I have a lot of doubts, but I believe. You ever feel like that? And the boy's healed. Willing. Are you willing to let God take control of your life? When we come to Christ and receive or surrender our lives to him, we come in that coming with an exhibition of faith. I know it doesn't seem like it. We had some people come forward at first service. Imagine, it's pretty terrifying. Do you remember when you accepted Christ, how terrifying it is? It's kind of funny, you know? In my mind is, get it over with. That's how I am. I don't know about you. It's like, look, if you go to the beach with me, this is what happens. I don't care what the temperature of the water is. If we're going to go in the water, get in the water. None of this stuff. Are you with me, everybody? All the guys, I'm just talking to you. Now, the girls, you can do anything you want with water. But guys, do you know we're going to go in the water? Yeah, woo-hoo-hoo. Water! Okay, then none of this. None of this, like, whoa! Wait. Oh, man. Get in! Why? We came to get in. We're going to get in. You can stand there and dilly-dally all day long, putting your toe in the water. It's cold. And we are out there having a ball all day long. And then 1 hour before it's time to go home, you finally get in the water while we're getting out, and you're bummed that you missed the whole day. You know what I'm talking about? Get in the water. Jesus has been calling out to you, and you're going, I don't know. Maybe I will. Maybe I won't. Maybe. Get in. It's not until you make the step that the environment turns out to be completely fine. I feel cold at first. I was scared to get up. And the moment you say, I'm getting up, and you get up, the fear is gone. Boom! You're in the water. But some people put their foot in and out all the time. Are you willing? You might even say, I'm not willing, but I'm willing to be willing. I understand that. I pray that a lot myself. God will say, Jack, tell that guy right there. That guy? Just tell him, but Lord, he's just standing there. He's got a carton of eggs and a milk. He's so innocent. He just wants to be left alone. Actually, I'm telling God how I feel. And it's my day off. It's Monday, Lord. You know I'm not on the clock. Jack, tell him. And all of the crisis is leading up to it. The moment you just say, hey, look, listen. I got it, but you probably think I'm a freak. I get that part. I think I'm a freak too. Here's the deal. I'm a Christian, stand in line. I think God told me to tell you he loves you and that I don't know. I don't even need to know your name. But Lord, in Jesus' name, show this guy and his family who you are. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm sorry to interrupt you. Sorry to bother you. That's real time, by the way. I just did that in real time. Which leads us to this. How can you be born again? You'd have to be believing. Believing. So I need you to be honest. I need you to be willing to consider this. Nicodemus became a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. He came as a believer in religion, in himself, in a system, in a religion. But the last time you read about Nicodemus in the Bible, he became a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is quite a fruitful encounter that Jesus had with him. When he said in verse 9, how can these things be? Jesus gives an answer, church, that is absolutely awesome. And if you're not Jewish, you're going to miss it. Most of us miss it. Look at verses 14 and 15 in your Bible of John 3. What's the answer to Nicodemus' question? How can these things be? Jesus drops a bomb of illumination on Nicodemus' heart. Oh, by the way, check this out. What did Jesus use to bring Nicodemus to faith? Answer, the Bible. Jesus now begins to quote from the book of Numbers, chapter 21. So be careful how you use the Bible. It's very sharp, you know, the Bible. I'll paraphrase for time's sake. Read it later. Numbers chapter 21. The children of Israel have been complaining to Moses and to God about how this field trip is going. We're sick of you, the people told Moses. We're sick of you. We're sick of these surroundings. We're out here in the wilderness. And another thing, we're sick of this manna we get every day for free. This food supernaturally appears. This manna. Manna in Hebrew is, what is it? We're sick of this, what is it food? You should have never taken us out of Egypt. You should have left us there. And they're just whining and whining. And God tells Moses, Moses, get out of the way. I heard that. And while they were griping, God sent serpents, snakes in the wilderness. Can you imagine? Can you imagine walking along griping? I'm sick of this place. This is boring. Walking around. Moses makes me sick. Gosh, look at that. Looks like the sand is moving over there. Can you imagine? No, it's not sand. It looks like snakes. That's too many snakes. Those are snakes. Watch. The Bible says the snakes began to bite them. I don't know about you. I hate snakes. I don't like big worms. And they're biting them. And they're dying. The people are dying. Because they complained. And God says, Moses, take a serpent made out of bronze. Bronze in the Bible stands for judgment. A serpent. A serpent. How do you save people? Judge the serpent. In the story, watch. The serpent is an example of sin. Satan in the garden brought sin to Adam and Eve. Serpent, serpent. Listen, Jesus says in John, right there, verses 14 and 15, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, right? Look at that. Jesus, by the way, saying that, he signifies how he's going to die on the cross. They didn't know that yet. When Moses raised up the serpent on the cross, the people, they were told, look to the serpent on the cross and be healed. Guess what the Bible says? Can you imagine having three snakes hanging off your leg and you're going, man, what? What did he say? What did he say? He said, look to the serpent and be healed. And they looked. Guess what happened? You got healed. And the Bible says some wouldn't look. Dude, you got three snakes on your leg. I know it. It hurts too. It's really, and I know there's a bunch of dead people around me. It doesn't look good. Look to the serpent on the pole. Nope, not going to do it. Come on, look. Nope. Can you believe this? That happened. You say, I don't believe it. That's ridiculous. Then why haven't you looked? The answer to Nicodemus's question is, how do you get born again? Look to the serpent on the cross. He takes him back to Leviticus. Nicodemus looks at Leviticus 21, realizes, oy vey, I'm to look. You're going to be lifted up on the cross. Sin's going to be judged at the cross. If I look to the cross, I'm going to be saved. That's it. You don't want my money? You don't want my robe? Look. That's the answer. You got to look. Nicodemus got it. You say, how do you know? John 19, after this, that the death of Jesus, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, asked Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him permission. So he came and took the body of Jesus, and who? Nicodemus, who at first came to Jesus by night, also came bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes. Do you know what that means? He was a worshiper of the Lord. And about 100 pounds worth. Then they took the body of Jesus and bound it in stripes of linen, that's perfumed linen, with the spices, as the custom of the Jews is to bury their dead. Nicodemus, at the cross, throws off everything and says, that's it. Can you imagine, you guys? He was told a couple of years earlier, just like Moses lifted up the serpent, I'm going to be lifted up like that. Just look, Nick, just look. Just look and you'll be saved. Be honest that you need a Savior. Be willing to accept what the Savior offers and believe in Him. The Bible says, look unto the Lord, all ye ends of the earth, and be ye saved, saith the Lord. Here's the amazing thing. Clearly, apparently, some of you can't look. You won't look. But maybe somebody will. The snake, it has bitten me. It has bitten you. It has bitten us. It's sin. Okay, so look to Him.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called You Need to Know All About Being Born Again. It's actually a mini-series taken from Pastor Jack's collection of studies on the essentials of our faith. It's a series called You Need to Know. We'll continue with more of You Need to Know on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. By the way, this series of messages is available for you on a set of DVDs. It goes by the same title, You Need to Know All About Being Born Again. It's such an important topic because it's all about whether or not a person understands the gospel, understands the sin problem, the need for divine redemption, and so on. And, of course, one's need to receive salvation. Now, here's our offer. For your gift of any amount to this broadcast outreach known as Real Radio, we'll send it right out to you. It's that easy. I'll say it again. We'll send you this series, You Need to Know All About Being Born Again by Pastor Jack, in a multi-DVD set for your gift of any amount to Real Radio. Now, whether you call, click, or write, be sure to mention it by name. You Need to Know All About Being Born Again, or simply All About Being Born Again. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. If you'd like to order by phone, that's easy, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Or if you'd prefer to write to us and ask for the DVD set by name, All About Being Born Again, just send your gift and request to our mailing address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Of course, all of our contact info can be found very easily at the web, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.